This podcast is sponsored by us. That's right. Crushcast is sponsored by Crush It Wine Education. And did you know we have an online wine shop? We explore new regions constantly and we carry some of them in our shop. Simply go to crushitwineeducation.com to discover what the wine we recommend.
Crush It Wine Shop features a curated selection of wines from around the world and all of our current class options. We handpick each bottle in our shop from small, sustainable producers, women winemakers, and other underrepresented producers in the industry. Our goal is to have a wine for every palate and to showcase delicious and affordable wines from wine regions around the globe. Plus, every bottle purchased comes with our custom wine sheet so you can learn about the wine, the producer, the region, and more as you sip.
Not sure where to start? Check out our shop. Shoot us a message and we can help you find whatever you need. And if you're a new customer, enter the code CRUSHCAST at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, welcome to CRUSHCAST. This is a sip episode number 5, in fact, the last in our wine fundamentals series.
Mm-hmm. Little sip episode minisode.
Yeah.
And it is in the late evening and it's sunny outside and I'm ready to drink wine.
Great.
But what are we talking about?
Well, today we were talking about our favorite wine shopping tips. And mm-hmm. I also have a beverage. It is not wine.
It is a beer, I'm guessing. Was it the blonde one?
Yeah, so I stopped by the store on the way here. Well, this is my house, but on the way home. Because I wanted to try this new Glutenberg beer. I tried their pale ale. I officially have celiac disease, so I cannot drink.
I don't want to cheers to that, but
regular beer. But they do make a very few. Actually gluten-free beers, so it's a new one. I'm trying to see if it's good.
Well, I have gluten-free wine. Wine is and should be gluten-free, everybody, just an FYI.
I think I
was excited for this one because
I like this one in the paleo.
Oh, nice. That one was weird. I think that shopping tips and things like that is like a really easy way to get your toe in the water and start kind of exploring wine a little bit more. I feel like we try to do that as much as we can. Like I'll pull stuff from Trader Joe's or I'll go to like BevMo or, you know, wherever, trying to just buy something that's normal that someone could go and buy wherever they are.
Yeah. And I think wine, like shopping for wine can be really intimidating for people, which is why they kind of default to just picking up the same, like one or two wines that they've had before that they know they like, because they don't want to risk it and spend money on something that they might hate. But
I
that's
forgot to tell you what I was drinking.
Why we have come in. Yeah, what are you drinking? Sorry.
I am drinking Opolo Albarino from Edna Valley 2022. Courtesy of our good friend Catherine, who likes to give me white wine because she knows I like white wine. But she gave me a handful of bottles the other day and she's like, "Do you want an Albarino?" And I was like, "Of course, yes. I want an Albarino."
Always.
It's lovely. Like Opolo makes a lot of different wines. They make a lot of big reds. But I think one of my favorite wines that they do make is this particular Albarino. So if you're into it, I highly recommend. And it's warm today and it's nice.
It is warm today.
And it's after work. So here we go.
I don't know who you're justifying it to, but
I've also had a slight sip of whiskey. So
I'm
ready to go.
Prepare yourself.
All right. Well, Allie's in charge of this
Okay,
episode,
so I have a few different tips that we can just kind of go over, and they're not really in any particular order, but just different things that I thought were important to talk about. And so one of my top ones is don't be afraid to share your budget or like the price point that you're looking to spend. This is going to be a little bit different, you know, if you're at a grocery store, like the grocery store worker might not be able to help you because they're probably not that knowledgeable. They might be. Trader Joe's sometimes has like a wine guy in the wine aisle that like actually knows a lot of their products. And they usually have like staff recommendations. But if you're just in like a regular like Vons or something, you know, that they might not have staff to help you. But if you're in an actual wine shop or you're talking to an online wine store, like a company like ours or even like wine.com, all those places have like a chat feature. Tell people your budget. Like it's nothing to be ashamed of to be like, "Hey, I really want to spend $15. Like, help me find what I can spend in that budget, or like, hey, I want to buy a nice bottle for this thing, but I don't want to spend more than $40 or $30 or whatever it is that you're comfortable with. People don't care. No one's going to judge you if you're like, I can only spend this much money. What can you find in this price range? I do that all the time when we go to like our local wine shop that we have here in town that we buy a lot of wines for when we are doing different things on the podcast. And I'm like, hey, do you have this? I want to spend about X. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, anything you ask for, usually if you're at a wine shop, there's going to be like a bunch of different tiers. So it's like, you can have one of those for $20. You can have one for 30. You can have one for 60. It's like, what are you looking to spend? So I think that's a really good jumping off point and something to just make sure you're not intimidated about, because the people working at the wine shop, you know, they don't care and they just want to help you find something that you're going to like in a price point that you feel comfortable with. If you don't give them any parameters and they only, you know, suggest wines that are all $50 a bottle, you don't want to feel awkward and be like, I can't afford any of that. So I think it's just kind of a good thing to get off right off the bat, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and like, lower prices don't necessarily mean lower quality either. So like, you want to find the best wine for you within X and Y. So
within 10, whatever your $20 budget is.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Right. And you can give them a range. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a tangent off that, but if you are looking for a deal, like you really don't want to spend that much money, you don't have that much money to spend on a bottle, but you want to find something that's still really tasty and pretty good quality and maybe not very like manipulated. Could be a good way of saying it.
Freaking wine, you mean? Freaking wine, yeah, my favorite phrase.
I would absolutely check the imports section, especially countries like Spain and Portugal. Again, there's going to be a huge range, but countries like that tend to have really, really affordable, lower tier options that are still really high quality, very good wines. We talk about this a lot. Like a lot of the times when Julia's pulling wines from Trader Joe's, they're from Spain or Portugal, even France, Italy, like the bigger quote unquote wine name countries that, you know, have high-end wines coming out of them also have lower tier, lower price point wines that are still really good. So like a $10 bottle of wine from Italy is going to be way better quality than a $10 bottle of wine from the US. And in part, that's like partly because of their regulations. And it's partly because a lot of wines in those countries are actually like government subsidized. So they're cheaper to produce for the winery. They could actually make, you know, when you go to Europe or somewhere and you're sitting in a cafe and you're like, oh, I'll have the house red for like €3 a glass. You're like, no one in America can afford to give you a wine for €3 a glass, but they can do that because they're actually like partially subsidizing those wines because they're such a big part of their culture. And that often gets passed on to us even as they get imported into the country. So anytime people are like really on a tight budget, Trader Joe's has great options, but any wine shop you go to too is going to have really good, more affordable options in like the $10, $12, $15 price point, even lower sometimes if you're looking outside of the US, if you're looking at the import section.
Well, I mean, I got that Pinot Grigio for fun. It was like Del Venenzi, like very good. And I picked the lowest price point on purpose based on description because I wanted to get something dry. And this was at Trader Joe's. They had six, and I picked the lowest one that was $4.99, and it was really decent, and it was $4.99.
Right. And I wasn't trying to spend... You know, when you're getting a $4.99 wine, it's like...
Oh, and I wasn't trying to spend, you know, I could have spent more money. I just was trying to illustrate exactly what you're trying to illustrate, which is, you know, you can take a chance on an import, and it's more likely to be of good quality at a lower price.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, wine friends, we wanted to pop in and make sure you know about a new free resource we're offering. Yep, free. Our Learn by Tasting checklist is a free resource curated for those who want to dive deeper into wine in the most enjoyable way possible, by tasting it.
Whether you're a curious newcomer eager to learn or a seasoned wine enthusiast looking to expand your palate, Learn by Tasting guides you through the essential styles and varieties you should experience. It's not just about drinking wine, it's about understanding the language of wine, exploring its diversity, and discovering what truly works for your palate.
And the best part? It's absolutely free. All you need to do is sign up and you'll be well on your way to becoming a more confident wine lover.
Are you ready to transform the way you taste, learn, and appreciate wine? Visit crushitwineeducation.com and sign up for your free Learn by Tasting checklist today. Embark on your wine journey with confidence, one sip at a time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The next little area we want to talk about is actually checking the label and reading the label. And I don't necessarily mean like picking your wine based off of how cool the label is, but actually looking, which is, you know, that's fine.
I've done it. I've done it. I admit it.
A cool label is important. I have also done it and it hasn't gone well because sometimes a funny label doesn't translate to good wine.
Are you talking about wine diamonds? Are you still bitter about that?
You did that to me. And yeah, I am still bitter about that.
I took a chance.
Because I think had you read that label, you would have been like, this isn't going to be good.
I did not read it. I picked it up and went, that's funny. And it was $3.99. It was at grocery outlet. I don't care.
Don't buy that.
Don't
or buy
that.
It, but don't be that. Have that be the only thing you bring to share.
Yeah, sorry.
That's rude.
I still fail. That's years later.
Okay. Funny labels, great. But also read the label because you can actually find a lot of valuable information on there. So it depends on the winery. There's not a ton that legally needs to be on that label other than like the Surgeon General's warning of like, this is alcohol. Don't drink it while you're pregnant or like driving a car. And the percentage of alcohol that's actually in the bottle. And a couple other like very little things. However, a lot of wineries choose to share something about the wine. So some people put like actual tasting notes on the back. Some I've seen bottles that put like a scale, like a sliding scale of like how sweet they think it is, especially for something like a Riesling that tends to have like more residual sugar. Sometimes they'll put a little bit about the winery so you can get a little bit of information without having to work that hard, just flipping over the bottle to be like, okay, they're smaller, they're family owned, they're something. Like you can just kind of glean a little bit of information this way. It might not tell you everything about the exact like style of wine, but I think it is going to give you a lot, a really good jumping off point to see if that's something that you like. And then even if your bottle doesn't have any of that, if it just says, you know, the date, the vintage date, the type of wine it is, whatever the producer's name is and like where it's from, it is always going to have the ABV, the alcohol by volume. And that can tell you a little bit about what you might be getting into.
Well, what if I just read this label as an example?
Yeah, do that.
Okay, so it's on the back. It says Oblo Albarino Edda Valley, known for its vibrant aromas and its elegant lingering finish. Spain's premier, in quotation marks, premier white wine has become an Oblo classic. Delicate floral aromas on the nose bring it to mind dew-covered wildflowers combined with sweeter notes of peaches and apricots. Oblo.com. And it's also certified, Oblo.com. SIP certified. So that, you know, sustainable in practice. And then it gives you the Surgeon General's warning and the 13% alcohol. And it does, it says it contains sulfites. And then the front label is just basically, it's almost blank.
If you just looked at the front, you know, you're like, okay, this is an Albarino from Oblo. Maybe you know who that producer is. Maybe you don't. Maybe you but know now where they're you know, located. Like, maybe you don't.
But like, there's like, at least
that's like a decent amount of information just reading that. However, there's so many bottles that I pick up that don't have anything on the back. It's just like, here, you know, alcohol warning, and that's it. So I think looking at the alcohol level is going to tell you a little bit. Like, that's 13%. That's like not low alcohol, but it's not high. It's like pretty
for
medium.
For California?
For California. True. Okay. For California, it's lowish. For anywhere else, it's not. It's medium.
Yeah.
but it's going to tell you just a little bit about how rich that wine is, maybe how big it's going to be. So if you're looking at a red wine, for example, and you see like 14.5, 15 plus alcohol, like that's going to be a pretty heavy wine, even if it's well integrated, even if it's well balanced, like it's just going to be a little bit bigger than something that's like a 13.5 for a red wine or something like that. So that's one thing. If it's super low in alcohol too, it could also mean that there's some residual sugar to it, possibly. Yeah. Not always. Again, these aren't like hard and fast. Like you will know everything about this wine by looking at that. But if it's, you know, an 8% alcohol wine and it's like a Riesling or something else, you're like, okay, there's a good chance that that means this is on the sweeter side because they didn't convert all those natural sugars into alcohol and therefore it's not as alcoholic. So that's what I would look for on the label. And then one of my favorite tips in terms of just like shopping and feeling comfortable and branching out a little bit is to, you can try a different few different spots in your town, but like really try and find your favorite go-to wine shop. So not just the grocery store or Trader Joe's or wherever you can shop where you live, but an actual like
wine store
that is dedicated yeah. to wine. It can be like a bigger store, like a K&L if you have one of those, or
Total Wine.
Yeah, I was like, we don't have any of those, so I always forget them. Or just like a smaller, like, I don't know what you call it, not like mom and pop necessarily, but just like a smaller owned wine like a
specialty
shop.
Specialty store.
Yeah. You can try out a few different ones, like see how you feel about the vibe of the staff and the people working there, whoever's owning it, because most wine stores, I mean, the bigger ones like a Total Wine or a K&L or whatever is going to have, all of them are going to have a pretty wide selection, but especially yeah. those more local like wine shops, they're going to have a pretty wide selection, but they're also going to have kind of like a bias or like a theme or like a type of wine that they're going to be more gravitating towards just based on like whoever is buying for them. So, you know, that's true for us. Like we have yeah. an online wine store along with our classes. We put our class wines in there. We buy other wines for the shop. We obviously try to do a really good job of representing a bunch of different regions and representing different styles, not necessarily only the styles that we personally want to drink. Everyone laughs at us when we like put a Chardonnay in there. So we don't usually enjoy Chardonnay. However, the ones we've had in our shops are delicious. But you definitely want to make sure you're representing like a wide range of consumers. And mm-hmm. that said, if you only have, you know, limited inventory that you're working with, some wine shops maybe are going to skew more towards like a natural bent, or some are going to skew more towards like a little bit richer, fuller bodied wines, or some are going to be more towards like the nerdy wine palate people, where they're like a little bit more austere and lean. Like, it doesn't matter what it is you like, just figure out, like try a few different ones, talk to the staff at a few different ones.
Yeah.
And I think making sure you have a go-to, so you have a place where you can like go in, get to know the staff a little bit, feel comfortable being like, hey, I really want to try wines from Sardinia. Mm-hmm. That could be all you say. Do you have anything? And I want to spend about $20. What could you recommend?
I want to try wines from Sardinia.
Yeah.
Just in general.
That sounds great.
But yeah, like we have a shop here that both of us like to go to. We've talked about it on the podcast before, because you can walk in, maybe look around for a little bit. But if you're in a hurry, you'd like this, and this, like three qualifiers.
Yeah.
And like one of them, the couple that owns it, will walk over and be like, here's an option, here's an option, here's an option. This totally. Is the one I like best. Would you like this one? And you go, yeah. yes. And you leave. And yeah. it's delightful. And saves
so
you time and a headache.
We both like the same place. And I know a lot of people who like it. And I think they're great. And I've had people like my parents or like family friends who are also into wine, but like a little bit older, make comments about how the particular shop we like and the couple that owns it have like very much like Somme palates. Like they're into that very like acid driven, austere, like not super rich wines. Like yes, that's please. Just their personal preference. It happens to be my personal preference too. So it usually Seems. Works out well. So oftentimes when like the woman running the shop is like, ooh, I really love this. And I'm like, I'm gonna love that.
But we trust them because we know.
But I trust them. And I think the people that I talk to that know that. And then they're just like, okay, I want something like this, but I also want it to be a little bit bigger, a little bit richer, a little bit fuller bodied. Like mm-hmm. that's part of like learning about wine, is the reason we want to do this. The reason we want to talk to you guys and like teach you about different regions and different varieties is to kind of give you the tools to be like, oh, I really like mm-hmm. wines that are maybe higher in alcohol. They have more of that fruit. They're kind of really big and like rich and maybe a little bit like more extracted. Like they have really rich color. They have a lot of that fruit coming out. And that's mm-hmm. what I really like. And we want you to be able to then explain that to someone else, so you can find wines within that style, but still find different wines to try and experience.
Yeah.
Versus me, I want like very like high acid, very clean, very bright, very crisp. That's just what I want. Neither of things are right or wrong. That's just what I want to drink. And the whole point is to figure out what it is you like and then describe that and find more of the things that you like while still exploring other.
Yeah, and that's a way to use an expert, right? Because you're like, totally. Or you're like, use a wine shop to be like, hey, I like Sauvignon Blanc, but I really want to
make
try
them
something
your experts.
New.
And then also, if you do find a shop where you like the staff and you like the vibe and you feel like they're understanding you when you're just trying to describe what you're looking for and they're helping you pick out things that fit into that. Oftentimes shops like that also have like a database so that you can have like a purchasing history. Mm-hmm. So when you buy a bottle, you're like, oh, I think I bought a Albarino from you a couple months ago and I really liked it. Like, do you remember what that was? Most places like that will have the ability to go back and be like, oh yeah, it was this one. And either we still have it. Do you want more? Or we don't have that one anymore. However, here's some other options that are very similar to that.
That's kind of like. How I learned about wine, going to my favorite wine shop in Orange County, because I didn't know anything and I was super curious and I was just out of college, so not a lot of money. And, you know, like, take it from me, like, that's just a way to drink good wine and also find out, you know, oh, you know, I think Riesling is interesting, but honestly, I wouldn't want to buy a bottle every day. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe not. Or maybe you want to get away from Chardonnay because you want to try something that's like similar but different, or you just want to try new things, no holds mm-hmm. barred.
Yeah.
And like, it's a little bit of adventure with little less investment. That's what we're trying to say, is like, you don't have to go to a winery and spend $80 a bottle to learn about wine or drink good wine.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I think my last little piece of advice we've sort of touched on in like finding the wine shop and some of the other stuff that we've talked about, but basically, don't be afraid to ask an expert. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Again, if you find like a smaller wine shop or even one of the larger, but like an actual like dedicated wine store as opposed to like a grocery store, mm-hmm. The staff there are very knowledgeable and should be ready and willing to help you out and answer your questions. So if you have something, you know, in particular that you're making for dinner and want help finding something to pair with it, if you have something that you're like, I really want to try Sardinian wines because now they've talked about them in this podcast and I don't know what they make in Sardinia, like, you could just go there and ask that. You could even just say like, hey, I love Sauvignon Blanc, it's all I really drink, and I want to try something like Sauvignon Blanc, but I want to try something different, like, what else should I taste?
Yeah,
like, you don't have to have a very specific, like, can you find me this specific varietal or this specific winery or the specific vintage. It can be as simple as like, this is what I normally drink and I would like to branch out, where should I go?
And or maybe not be like, I drink this one Sauvignon Blanc for this one producer,
right?
But
what's another Sauvignon Blanc I should try?
It's in the same price point, like, or whatever. Yeah I mean,
like, so I think,
but you can like reach out to us too, like, is
right,
same,
that's what
like,
I was like, wine shops like that, or if you don't have one or you haven't found one, like, that's part of what we do in our online wine shop and just in general with our business. That's the whole point. So we have like a chat function on our website. If you're on our website and you're shopping and you have questions about any of the wines, we want us to help you pick out a wine, you can use that, but you can also just use it to ask like general questions. It's manned by us. It's not manned by AI. Or like, reach out to us on Instagram or shoot us an email and like ask, be like, hey, I'm having this dinner party, like, what should I pair with this? We're happy to help even if you're not buying it from us.
Exactly.
So did I miss any tips? Those are my tips, Julie.
No, pro tip, this is like the best place to start. And if you're feeling overwhelmed in a store or you're too shy to ask, just, you know, go to our website and type it to us. You know, you don't have to look at somebody in the eye. You can ask any question you want. And sometimes it's nice and convenient because you can do that anywhere. Yep. And maybe you don't have a great local wine shop and you're kind of seeking out where to buy wine, either online or in person. And there's ways to get around that, solve that, and find better places to shop. So that's it. I think that we've got over most of the things that you need. As always, we love your feedback and we want to hear from you. Please hit us up on any of our social media platforms.
Yeah.
And you can also, for any bonus episodes outside of our little sipisodes, we have a Patreon. So you can go Patreon. Look that up for CrushCast and support us, and we'll support you. Not
Well then,
financially.
no. You can support us financially. We don't have enough money to support
Yeah,
you
we gotta
financially.
try. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say cheers.
Okay.
Maybe you have to do it because you have an actual wine glass.
Thanks for joining us and cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Crushcast. Our cover art is by Valerie Martin. Our intro music is by our very own Julie Cox. Check out our website at crushitwineshop.com for details on all of our episodes and more information on our classes and events. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at crushitwinesb. If you have questions or suggestions, please email us at info@crushitwinesb.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. Most importantly, if you liked the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to spread the word and support our show. And if you'd like to show your support even more and help keep the wine flowing, visit our Patreon. Cheers.